Jonah 4, verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." After Jonah preached to Nineveh, he actually went out in the desert up on a cliff to watch the fireworks of Nineveh. He wanted to see it blown up and burning. But graciously, he neither saw Nineveh burn nor himself. Instead, he saw a plant grow up so quickly that it provided him shade already the first day. And he was very grateful for any shade out there in the sun, desert. But that night, the Lord appointed a worm that damaged the plant so that it withered. And the next day, the Lord appointed a searing desert wind so that Jonah was virtually fainting from the heat. And the Lord asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be jealously angry about the plant?" Jonah argued with God. You know, it ought to be a hint to us that when we're arguing with God, we're very likely on the wrong side. But he argued with God that it was right for him to be jealously angry about the plant, so angry that he may as well die. But the Lord pointed out to Jonah, "You were jealous about this plant, angry about losing it, desiring to keep it, and yet you did not plant it, water it, fertilize it, or cause it to grow. You didn't labor in any way to keep it. If it's right for you to be jealous to keep such a plant, should not I be jealous to restore to myself, to keep as my own all these people, even 120,000 of them children who don't know their right hand from their left?" The Lord has labored for every person, you. He created man perfect in the beginning. He grieved at our fall. He yearned for our salvation so that Jesus came and endured the agony of the cross to pay the full penalty for the guilt of your sins and mine. He was perfectly obedient to God's commandments in our place that his righteousness might be credited to us as the holy righteousness of God, making us our Father's own holy children. Directed back by such saving grace, Jonah spat out his self-righteousness in repentance. But you're perhaps asking two questions at this point. Since the book of Jonah closes with God's admonition to Jonah, how can I tell you that he repented? That he spat out that self-righteous pride? This book has so many miracles, and yet perhaps the greatest miracle of them all is that Jonah went home and wrote this book, telling the world about what a fool he'd been, how he'd tried to run away from God, not once, but twice, how he'd fallen into such self-righteous pride. He demonstrated his sinful wretchedness also by the contrast. For notice, as you peruse this book, everyone and everything obeys God except the preacher, the storm, the dice, the sailors, the fish, the Ninevites, the plant, the worm, the wind. Everyone did God's bidding, except the one who had thought that he deserved God's grace and others didn't. Yes, Jonah spat out that self-righteous pride, confessing to the world, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me." I suggested you might have a second question in mind. If God could so graciously bring a revival even in Nineveh and spit Jonah up a second time from a fish, why didn't he bring a revival in Israel? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so much higher are the Lord's ways than ours. And yet at times the Lord gives us glimpses into his ways, his gracious plan. Under 12 kings, Israel has gone from bad to worse. The Lord sent prophets to call his bride back. His heart had bled for them, sending prophet after prophet, but they would not listen. He provided them prosperity to call them back, but they forgot him. He took it away to turn them back, but they cursed him and turned to the Baals. We are reminded that man's unbelief is always because man will not believe. And yet, how often are we like them? With our hearts more focused, more concerned about our pleasures and prosperity than about Jesus' blood and righteousness. So what else could the Lord do for Israel? Well, in Deuteronomy, he tells us, I will move them to jealousy by those who are not a people. So, even the Ninevites being brought to repentance was the Lord's gracious attempt to bring Israel back, to move them to jealousy, to turn back to his arms, to repent and be restored. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Will God have to use as drastic means to turn your hearts back to him? To move you to jealousy? To lead you to learn with Jonah? To be so zealously concerned about the salvation of each soul? Directed by that grace, Jonah spat out his self-righteous pride, and he calls us to do the same. This book is written pointing us to that grace of God that directs us with Jonah to spit out our self-righteous pride, to return to him in the jealous concern that goes then to tell the world, to tell your friends and neighbors of that truth that alone could save me, you, and everyone. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 342, stanzas 4 and 5.